Sabrina Carpenter has had two of the year's biggest hits with Espresso and Please Please Please. Now she's released a new full-length album called Short and Sweet, which serves up more catchy silliness and high drama. And we're here to break down its chances of continuing the singer's winning streak. I'm Stephen Thompson. Today on NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, we are talking about Sabrina Carpenter's new album, Short and Sweet. Joining me today is NPR music editor Hazel Sills. Welcome, Hazel.
Hi.
It is such a pleasure to have you. So, Sabrina Carpenter didn't become a household name until this year, but she's been around for more than a decade. She's acted in numerous movies and TV shows, including Girl Meets World on the Disney Channel. Plus, she's put out a whole bunch of albums and singles and opened for Taylor Swift. But everything really blew up for Sabrina Carpenter this past spring when she released one of the year's most inescapable earworms, Espresso. That song has been in the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100 for months now, and earlier this summer it was joined by another huge hit, Please, Please, Please.
Please, 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 don't bring me to tears when I just did my makeup so nice.
Both of those songs appear on Carpenter's brand new full-length album. It's her sixth, called Short and Sweet. It's full of bangers and ballads and other bids to keep that espresso magic alive. Hazel, what did you think of Short and Sweet?
I think Short and Sweet is fantastic. I really was not sure if Sabrina Carpenter was going to pull off making a great full-length album after her hits like Espresso and Please, Please, Please. I think there was a part of me that thought, like, all right, she's got two great songs. Like, maybe this will be a two-hit wonder situation. But I think the album is great and diverse, or a lot more diverse than I thought she would give us based on her hit singles.
Yeah, I had a similar reaction. I think the fact that she put out videos with those songs that also captured a ton of attention. You know, Espresso is a whole vibe, and it's also kind of telling a story. And then Please, Please, Please incorporates the actor Barry Keoghan to play the part of the terrible boyfriend. He's reported to be in an on-and-off relationship with Carpenter in real life. And that did a really nice job, I think, of pulling people into a not just an artist who can make catchy songs, but an artist who has a larger persona and kind of her own lore.
Yeah.
And I think pop stars have started to become like movie franchises. You're not just sitting down with them to be entertained. You are following a million breadcrumb trails. And there's a lot of, I hate to use the phrase Taylor Swiftian, but kind of Taylor Swiftian lore behind it. This song is about this person. This song ties into this relationship. How much of that do you hear here?
I mean, it's interesting because I do agree with your idea that pop stars are kind of like movie franchises, and that I just think that they have to do a lot more promotion-wise, and as you say, like lore-wise or sort of persona building than just simply putting out music. But I think, I don't know if I would connect her to that sort of singer-songwriter traditions, because I think what Sabrina Carpenter, at least from this album, does really well is she kind of plays with both of that, here's my personality, here's my lore, but the songs are kind of universal enough or sort of theatrical enough where I can see listeners being drawn into her narratives almost as if they could relate to them themselves. I mean, this is an album that I feel like is almost like a concept album about having a really bad ex-boyfriend because it's just like one song on top of another of her just telling these stories about how men have wronged her, men have made her look stupid, men have cheated on her. And it's like, you think that you would maybe get tired of that theme, but she does it in such a way on this album where I was never tired. I was sort of like really enjoying these sharp little jabs that she makes across the record at, you know, these, maybe it's one guy, maybe it's many guys, does it really matter? I don't know. She gets personal in some parts, but I think that there's just like such a universal sense of fun and adventure in this record.
Well, I agree with you. And I think one reason you don't get sick of it is it's short and sweet. It's 36 minutes long, 12 songs, which gives you a sense that she knows how to kind of get in and out without a ton of fat, without a ton of waste. And I think she comes at, as you describe, a concept album about bad ex-boyfriends. She comes about that, I think, in a somewhat playful way, yeah, and kind of comes at it from enough different angles that it doesn't become wearing. It doesn't necessarily feel like a particularly grievance-heavy album.
No.
Even though, like you say, it's throwing a lot of little jabs. There's a song that I really want to mention on this record called Dumb and Poetic.
You're so dumb and poetic. It's just what I fall for. I like the aesthetic. Every self-help book, you've already read it. Cherry pick lines like they're words you invented.
We only played about 15, 20 seconds of that song and cut it off before you get to the line about how he pleasures himself to the lyrics of Leonard Cohen. I felt like this song, I don't mean this as a jab at Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. I feel like this song in 2 minutes does what the Tortured Poets Department is doing in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It is really, in pretty broad but specific strokes, painting a portrait of a certain type of lunk who takes himself very seriously and seems very emotionally open, but has these limitations. And that song may or may not be about a specific person, but it feels very specific and universal at the same time.
You know, your point about playfulness is, I think, this album's biggest strength. Like, I don't hear rage. I don't hear like anger necessarily. And those are emotions that I love to hear in music. But I think like a song like this is really reminds me of artists like, you know, Chappell Roan, Olivia Rodrigo, who are very much in like Sabrina Carpenter's cohort, who can really kind of step back from situations in their life and kind of poke fun at it and turn it into music that is so playful and like really doesn't take itself too seriously, which is, I think, kind of the draw for me of Sabrina Carpenter on this album. And it reminds me of another song that I wanted to bring up, which is a song that really made me laugh, which is a song called Slim Pickens.
Jesus, what's a girl to do? This boy doesn't even know the difference between there and they are.
You're speaking to my soul.
I feel like that lyric and the Leonard Cohen lyric are very much coupled, where it's just like, it goes back to that idea of like the little jabs on the album. And something that I kept doing over the course of listening to this album was laughing, which I feel like is such a rare thing for me to do on like a major pop star's album. And I don't know if it's because of Sabrina Carpenter's background as being a comedic actress. You know, she came from a Disney Channel show. She has that kind of theatrical background. And she really clearly brings that not just to her songwriting, but as you said before, like the music videos. It's like she really is building this very specific and almost lovable persona of like this petite, bubbly blonde who's maybe like sweet and cute on the outside. But if you wrong her, she will just ruin your life. I love sitting in the theater and watching that franchise, listening to that franchise.
Yeah, she's really building out your sense of who she is on this record. I'm really glad you pulled out that line about not knowing the difference between there and they are. Because if your only exposure to her, or a first conscious exposure to her, was the song Espresso, one of the things that people hearing that song for the first time were bound to say, they were bound to pick apart her grammar. Mm. They were bound to pick apart, like, what is this? What do these lyrics even mean? What is this me espresso thing?
What do they not understand? That's that me espresso. It's perfectly grammatically correct. What's their problem?
The more you listen to that song, the more the lyrics make sense.
You're like, the English language has actually always been this way, and this is how you say it.
Exactly. But I think if your sense is she doesn't know which words she's singing, oh, no. She knows exactly what words she's singing. She has, I think, the best ability to sort of fuse apparent stupidity and deep, deep cleverness. she's got that fuel mixture down as well as any artist since Kesha. And I think that really is part of the appeal of this record. And you talked about the humor. Like several of the artists that you mentioned, particularly Chappell Roan and Olivia Rodrigo, Taylor Swift has this as well. They know exactly how to deliver a line as a piece of conversation instead of just as a song lyric. And I think that is a big part of what makes these songs as sticky as they are. You're not just hearing a singer belting out a song, you are being let in on these conversations. And I think that ties into this larger point about her background as an actress. She is really using that toolkit extremely effectively here. And as you acknowledge, it's made her videos pop that much more. And I wanted to get into the video that just dropped for the song Taste. Taste is the new single from this record. Lyrically, it's maybe my least favorite song on the record.
I'm the same.
Because it's kind of a sour song about jealousy that is targeting the other woman. And the video leans extremely hard into those themes. What did you think of that song and that video?
Yeah, I mean, the song was not hitting me lyrically, I think for different reasons, where we were talking about like Sabrina Carpenter being a very economic, witty writer. And I was like, maybe I haven't had enough coffee. Maybe I haven't had enough espresso.
Exactly. If only there were some substance you could consume.
But I was like trying to wrap my head around the narrative of the song. I'm like, okay, so she's with her, the boyfriend again, but Sabrina Carpenter shares the boyfriend. And when she kisses his lips, she's going to taste Sabrina Carpenter too. Is that because she's her ex? Are they still together? I don't know. But I think the video is great. One, because as you said, she's acting in this music video. In this case, in Taste, she's acting alongside, you know, modern scream queen Jenna Ortega, who's also fantastic in the video. But the video also has, you know, this very, very clear references to Death Becomes Her. They're constantly trying to murder each other. They're sawing off their arms.
Certainly seeming like they're succeeding, yes.
Yeah. And I really like the video because I felt like this music video illuminated kind of darker qualities or sort of more, sort of like expanded her comedic palette as an artist. And she kind of did that with Please, Please, Please too, which was also very, you know, like tongue-in-cheek music video about dating a bad boy boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But I felt like this music video is so violent and bloody.
It's so violent.
And I was like, you know what? I like this look on Sabrina Carpenter, I have to say.
I get it. I was definitely like, oh, this is like a horror movie. I mean, you're definitely right. It is referencing Death Becomes Her explicitly in several ways.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, it's been a big year for sort of apparent overnight successes that actually like involved years and years of toil. Chappell Roan certainly fits that description. The fact that Sabrina Carpenter has been around for more than a decade, this is her sixth album, but all of a sudden she has been thrust into the A-list with a pair of like gigantic hit songs. Why do you think 2024 is her year? Why do you think it's working for her now?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a few things. I think, one, it's vehicles like TikTok, where Sabrina Carpenter's music has done really well. Chappell's music has done really well. An artist like Charlie XCX, who's another artist who's been slightly in the margins.
And kind of kicked it into another gear.
Yes, for sure. And I think TikTok allows artists who maybe aren't the Billie Eilishes or aren't the Taylor Swifts to sort of mobilize their audiences and listeners and get bigger radio play, get bigger stages, whether that's like SNL or it's festivals, just basically like mobilize these maybe smaller audiences into bigger ones. I also think, too, like Sabrina Carpenter and Chappell Roan, they are similar in the sense that they're really serving this kind of, maybe fantasy isn't the word, but this very kind of like theatrical pop presence. Like, you know, we were talking about Sabrina Carpenter as this kind of like pop star franchise. And I think it's been a great year for artists who can do that. I mean, Charlie, again, is another example with Brat Summer. Like, the branding, the videos, it was an album that had an aesthetic, it had a live presence. When I think about a song like Espresso and Please, 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 and hopefully a lot of songs in this album, because I think they deserve wider success, I think they are hitting so hard this year because I think people are really kind of craving that kind of fun playfulness that we're talking about. This almost kind of like cartoonish theatricality that people can kind of lose themselves in, not to negate serious singer-songwriters who are like pouring their hearts out into their music in hyper-specific ways. But I think like people were craving a song like Espresso, something kind of silly, something kind of stupid in the best way. And I think like Sabrina is clearly an artist who can do stupid in a really smart way. And I think that is an underrated mode for singers.
100% agree. And I think also I give Espresso credit, like a lot of credit, for kind of marking the vibe shift in music that I think took place kind of at some point in the spring and summer of 2024, where earlier in the year, I was talking about 2024 as the year of pop culture grievances, and kind of the sense that a lot of how we were interacting with popular music was sort of checking in on who's mad at somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I think what Espresso did was like throw open the curtains and let the sun shine in and just like let it be summer, like let it be silly. And I think it kind of helped set the stage for Brat, totally coincidentally. It kind of signaled a little bit of a shift where we were suddenly able to appreciate really, really big, really popular songs that are just silly and fun.
Yeah. Silly and fun, but also like there are grievances on the Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's with this kind of like, please don't make me look stupid. kind of shrug. Yeah. But no, I completely agree. Like Espresso did kind of let the sunshine in. And I'm hoping that it means that we get to have more fun in pop music.
Yeah, that would be nice. All right, well, we want to know what you think about Sabrina Carpenter's new album, Short and Sweet. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Hazel Sills, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And just a reminder that signing up for Pop Culture Happy Hour Plus is a great way to support our show and public radio, and you get to listen to all of our episodes sponsor-free. So please go find out more at plus.npr.org/happyhour or visit the link in our show notes. This episode was produced by Liz Metzger and edited by Mike Katziff. Our supervising producer is Jessica Reedy, and Hello Come In provides our theme music. Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow.